Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we're joined by Storm Jim. We're joined by Andrew Tate's coach, Amir Subasic. How are you,
Amir? Amir Subasic. Not bad for the first time. Properly in Bosnian, it will be, or Balkan, Subasic. So, Amir Subasic. I was born in Bosnia, former Yugoslavia. I grew up in Germany. That's where my martial arts kind of like journey started. But yeah.
You grew up in Bosnia. I believe it was Zvornik.
Yeah, I was born in Zvornik. And I lived there several months. And then as a baby, we moved to Germany, where I grew up to the age of nearly 16. In Essen.
What's your favorite Bosnian dish?
All meats. Everyone who knows me, I love my meat. So obviously, Bosnian national dish is the cevapcici, the meat fingers. But you also have, we do a lot of like lamb on like a spit roast. And so it's just the whole lamb, and you buy half a kilo. Actually, you buy a kilo, because if you buy half a kilo, they laugh at you. Like, look at them. He's half a man. Let's not even start into quarters and all of that rubbish, yeah.
In Germany, who introduced you to combat sports, or was it military first?
No, in Germany, I was 5 and a half. I was born kindergarten and all of this stuff, and then school. I started earlier because in Germany, they do that. So if you're like clever, let's say, I was clever. And then so you go ahead, they do all the testing. And I was beaten up in the German school by three Germans. And I saw guys in white suits. It was judo then. They were throwing each other around. You know, I had a black eye, and they beat me up badly, really. They were much older than me and stuff. Yeah, that's it, really. And then I saw them training. I said, I need to learn how to fight. They go, oh, excuse me, we only teach self-defense. And I was a little bit, I wouldn't say cocky, just like, I said, look at me, nose bleeding, this, yeah. My mom was looking after them Bosnian style with the knife. Yeah, we don't have, you probably know, you hear about a lot about bullying and stuff. We don't really have that. Like, you touch my child, you're dead. And it's across the board. Just a bit dramatic. Now, someone raised a living being, and someone else going to deteriorate it so badly that they kill themselves, like some kids do. And yeah, that's why I think and believe that all the children should literally train martial arts. And all the men should serve the military, fight in wars that are to defend their countries, like I did. Not go invade other people's countries. You know what I mean? Just go through the military, some sort of territorial army, like 6 months, you know, just to have that build in. This is brutal. So, yeah.
So what can you tell me about your experience at the Bosnian Patriotic League?
Oh, God. Experience as well. I was in Yugoslav army first, obviously, and then we all had to serve. All the wars started and stuff. The thing is with in the Patriotic League in the beginning, there was nothing. It was literally, let's say, in my street, was two mates and me. We fought as much as we could ever run away. Then later we met another few mates and so on. And that's how it started to grow. When people say we were organized, we had this. At the end of the war, when we had to give territory back after we were forced to sign the Dayton Agreement. But otherwise... Yeah, it was chaos, you know. It was you didn't know where, what, how, what's tomorrow. You were living just day by day. I was the eldest. My father was killed when I was 21. So I took over my whole family and taking care of my family. And that's my sole purpose of my life, really, taking care of others. So, yeah, especially my family first, of course.
How did you take care of them?
Well... in war, when it a little bit stabilized, we had obviously units started forming, you know, brigades, divisions, corps, and so on. And then I was fighting in a certain area, and then I would, let's say, like send or carry the food there. And where I was fighting was 50 odd miles away. So when you have a whole flour bag of 50 kg on your back, big military back at the front, same at the back, wire it up, and you walk all night. I arrive in the morning, bring the food, sometimes the last day. Obviously, we had some sort of salary. I didn't smoke, so you get like a cigarette allowance. And I think it was like 20 packs or something. And for the ones that smoke, they exchange anything for cigarettes. So if you get, I don't know, two cans for. But I also remember the times where a pack of cigarettes were thousands of euros, thousands. You wouldn't even find one. So the serious smokers, which I never got, they smoked tree bark, hay, and all of that. I'm like, you guys are not normal. I mean, I can't relate to it. As I said, I never smoked in my life.
So what's that like if you're around Andrew and Tristan all the time and they're massive smokers? So what, are they not allowed to smoke in front of you while training?
No, they don't smoke for a while now, both of them. They actually stopped. They do a lot of like the cigars and stuff, and we all know that the cigars is more the puffing, isn't it? So, or however you call it, they do a lot of shisha. They used to also, all of that stopped. So look, with Andrew and Tristan is very it's very straightforward. So we're in a fight camp now. We will not drink, we will not smoke, we will not do this, do this, do this, do this. So it's gone. It's like it never existed. So it's just training, work. Of course, they work all the time. They've got meetings, they go here, go there. So it's fine, you know. So yeah, it's easy. It's very straightforward. Same like in your list. Look, we obviously have to adapt a little bit the schedule to Andrew, you know, because they're both busy. We now already, it's only 3 weeks left soon. So, we started doing everything a little bit later now because he'll be fighting around 1 a.m. So we train around that time. It was hard last night. We started. So, yeah, you know, you come home about 3, 4 a.m. and until you fall asleep, you watch and you think, what am I doing here? The sun is already rising here. And then, like, yeah, and you got to go sleep. But it is what it is. It's all part of the day job, as they say. Training them is very easy. Being around them is very easy. We're chilling, no problems. You know, the kids come in sometimes. You know, we have fun. You know, it's very easy. Sometimes it's just boom, like a grenade fell somewhere. They're all gone. Everyone doing something quickly. Bam, 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 and then like everything normal, chilling, drinking coffee, chatting, and then again, boom. And I'm just sitting and just watching them. I'm like, all right, whatever makes you guys happy, easy.
So from Bosnia, you went to Germany, and then from Germany, you went to England. And when did you
No, from
start
Germany,
there?
I came back to Bosnia, then Yugoslavia. It was still Yugoslavia. I mean, Bosnia, the Republic, was part of the Yugoslavia. So I was born basically in Bosnia. I went to Germany as a kid. I came back as a junior, just about 2 years before military, went to the military, served the military, all the war started, spent all the time in the war and stuff, retired then. And 1999, February, I came to the UK, originally to visit, but then to stay there, got engaged, got married, all of that. And yeah, after that, and then so I came in February, and the 1st of November, I formed Storm Gym. It was after my fight name, Storm. And yeah, the rest is history. We trained in 20 different places in Luton and around. You know, Tate, everyone knows that one gym, which I'm no longer a member of because of some issues with my ex-business partner. My gym is now Storm Gym UK, and it's stormgymuk.com. So it's Amir Sobasic's Storm Gym UK. So everyone can relate to it and they know where to train. But yeah, Andrew won one of his world titles in Rain Away Community Centre in Luton. Literally on a like a rubbery floor. It was horrendous because you literally could not wash off that dirt or whatever that was there. I was washing my feet 5 times and just impossible. So yeah, but obviously we train barefoot to fight barefoot, so we got to train. Now it's a bit easier. So I still like my barefoot stuff. They all call me Bosnian Mountain Gorilla. So, but Andrew's obviously training in his boxing boots and stuff. So yeah.
So what, there was no funding during the Luton days?
No, the it was a community center. Not sure how it works in Australia, but so you everyone walks in, and at the end of the night, because we are the last, we have the last slot of the night, and we trained in. If you remember that one video where I throw Andrew over, like judo throw him, yeah, and yeah, so that was in the Stopsley Regional Center, which is it's a sports center. It had a combat and gymnastics room we used to train in. We trained in Barry Park Community Center, in a postal address.
The baseball bat, when he kicked the baseball bat, and he broke it.
Yeah, that's in the actual the one location we were, the Storm Gym where we were in. But also before that, we were nearly 7 years in Stopsley, in the part of a fitness center. They had a combat room, which is our permanent place. So yeah, we've been around Luton a lot. I mean, the postal club, whoever remembers from the old days, literally is like a pub for all the postal workers. There'd be glass on the carpet and stuff. So it's completely, yeah. We trained everywhere, and you know, so Andrew started in Stopsley originally, and then because the gym shut there, so we trained in Rainway and then in Stopsley Regional for a little bit before we moved to that Storm Gym on New Bedford Road.
And how long after you opened up the Storm Gym did Tristan and Andrew start attending?
I started 99 in the drill hall in Luton, thanks to Jim McIver, who actually allowed me a third of his space, but later I had my own classes. It's a good question, actually. I think they started maybe a few years, 3-4 years after I opened up, so 2002, 3, 4, something like that. So I trained them outside privately, no matter what the weather, because they wanted to learn how to be fighters. So, and I remember training on a little roundabout. Yeah, it was outside because Tate used to be a fishmonger, so he used to carry fish all night. Then we come train about 5-ish, so stunk on fish. And yeah, good old days.
So what do you think's the biggest differences between, you know, dealing with them then to dealing with them now?
Well, then and now, obviously now they're Richie Rich. So they have all the proper food, they have the clothing, they got anything they want. Before, you know, I used to supply everything nearly, loads of stuff. So, and they didn't have really proper food, you know, as you know, all the stories. So the good days, bad days, like everyone else. But the struggle never ends in one way or the other. Just because you've got more money doesn't mean you have less hustle and struggle. And I think for me personally, from training-wise, nothing changed. Obviously, now it's boxing, so we're adapting different stuff, different opponents, different things. So, but that's more like a tactical and a specific preparation for one task. Same like in the military, you're attacking, a compound, or you're going deep into the enemy lines through mountains and forests. So it's not the same training or preparation for each. Yeah, so it's the same here. We're still training hard and so more relaxed. He can have a massage or two or five if he wants. He can have whatever he wants. So, you know, eat really clean, eat well. He's got everything. So, yeah, that's it. Or drive up, so he didn't have to walk or run home after training, like many times. Has a nice bed to sleep in and very grateful. He's still really, they're both still the older people, like I know them. For me, it's nothing different. Obviously, for all of you guys, like, wow, it's top G's. It's still the same. You know what I mean? Yeah, but from that respect, obviously, they earned it. Don't get me wrong. For people that don't know them, for us, which were with them, I mean, don't get me wrong. A few nights ago, when we were driving back home after training, I did say everything he achieved is so awe-inspiring. And I'm very proud of him, obviously, as a coach and as someone who knows him, friend, whatever. It's really, really, it's awe-inspiring. I don't know if there's a higher word for it. I would use it. But I literally, like, yeah, for me, as someone who knows him for 20-plus years, it's like nearly brings tears to me to, you know, how much. And plus, everything else people don't know, all this rubbish and stuff, you know, I can tell you, yeah, you did this, but there's no proof. And whilst there's no proof, they're just bombarding it out, all these different shit messages and stuff. I'm like, but with no proof, literally. Like, where's the proof? You know, what was before? You have to prove that someone is guilty before you can charge them. Now you can already charge them, and I mean, publicly, once it comes to, as you see, to court or anything, everything falls apart. It's just literally like it's a repetitive like game, and now people already see through it. It's really rubbish, let's be honest. How long? Just because what? You don't like what he says? Well, don't fucking listen to him. Excuse my French. That's, you know, I normally swear way more, but I'm trying not to, yeah. Now, stuff like this is annoying, you know, like they will not publish anything. The 25 million of his own money he spends per year feeding poor children and, you know, in all the countries, they will not write about all the good people, all the people he helps, and him, Tristan, just helped a mother who couldn't pay something for for her daughter because insurance wouldn't cover it in America. So we just paid for it, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, you know, medical in America. And everything else we don't even know about, they do, you know? But yeah, let's just, because obviously it doesn't fit the narrative and the whole, I'm a man and I'm not a weak man. Anyone who has a problem, you think you're tough? No problem. Stand in front of me, then let's see. If you know what I mean, you want to fight, we'll fight. But that doesn't mean I will fight. Yeah, I'm very capable, you know, very well trained, no problems. But doesn't mean, and then I always thought in martial arts, the biggest thing to achieve is to be very capable and very dangerous, but to be very, even more controlled than anyone else. And to see and just to be very mellow in that respect until it's needed. It's like detonate on impact or detonate on touch. So no problem. We have now this modern world where everyone is, you know, you're online now, or you're new. I mean, I don't even read comments and stuff. I don't watch media or news. Sorry. I don't. I like a movie here and there, but, you know, too busy talking to real people about real stuff, you know. And of course, if I believe my room is beautiful, I don't care what you say. My room here is beautiful. My sister decorated it. My mom is here. You know what I mean? So then someone's go, oh, the wall is too white. And then they all start. There's all these comments and stuff. It's the same with everything. Like, yeah, as I said earlier, you know, like also, I did the interview with that Fred talk. And obviously, he took the one thing that, like, oh, Tay's going to knock. Yeah, of course. If I don't believe in my fighter, his coach, he was interviewed, his coach would say the same, you know, that his fighter will win. Otherwise, you shouldn't be someone's coach. If I doubt my fighter to fight you, and I make some comments where I'm not like confident, well, I shouldn't be his coach. If I believe in my fighter, I believe in my work, and that's it. You know what I mean? So, but they took that part out, and I did talk about other loads of positive stuff, you know, about the pawn and the stuff. I'm old school martial arts. I'm very respectful. I respect everyone, however good or bad, that enters the ring, because out of 1 billion people, few million enter. So that leaves 900 odd million, nothing. Yeah, and talk. And I understand it's not everyone's cup of tea, not everyone loves martial arts. Some will do whatever, anything, any other sports and stuff, but you can't compare martial arts to anything because it's the most primal thing in this world. When two men punch each other, and at the end, actually, they shake hands, hug, and that's it, it's done. You know, probably have a pint after if they drink and sort it. So that's how I look at it, you know, but all this. It's okay. I get it. You know, hide the fighter, blah blah. Yeah, but I'm just like, leave it all. Talk in the ring, and then let's see. You know, fair play. You win this time. Next time, maybe I win. Who cares? You know, it's not. Full respect to Andrew as well. He doesn't have to fight. Everyone knows that. 39 years old tomorrow, and yeah. So what is he doing for his 39th birthday? 20 days after, he'll be fighting. But you tell me anyone else who's doing that? You know, like. And again, it's the very few out of the millions and millions and millions that will actually do it. Yes, the billions will talk, chat shit, which they have no clue about their heart. If you don't respect someone's hard work, like you now, you're in Australia, I'm in Dubai, yeah? We have to make it. You know, we yesterday we mixed up the times. You understand? Yeah, but we didn't flip, did we? Didn't go, oh, I don't care now, goodbye. That's not what this world is about. You never know. We have an old Bosnian saying, you should have a door, like a door that you can open in every village, which means basically be respectful, be nice, don't do anything to anyone that you don't want to be done to yourself, and that's it. And he doesn't have to fight, but you know, in the end, also I can understand why he's fighting. For me personally, he has everything. He needs that something in his life, and nothing like war for men, a man. That's
Amir,
it.
do you consider both of those guys your family?
Yes, of course. I know them literally when I still, for me, I look at them sometimes. I remember them when literally like skinny and, you know, just two brothers. I always respected that they were always together. Never one, I don't remember a time that one came training, the other didn't, unless Tristan was working, because Tristan, I'd like to praise Tristan here as well, because Tristan gave up his whole nearly career and everything to fuel Tate's career. And so he was working, making the money whilst. So this is true brotherhood. Yeah. Even friendship, let's say, like proper, you know, sometimes friendship grows into brotherhood. And some friends are even better than some family members, let's be honest. And so that's how them two work. So it's like a yin and yang. No problems. Well, you, Tristan said it. He was selling, I think, windows or something, door to door. And Andrew said, oh, I might start with you. He goes, no, Andrew, you need to find a way out, a bigger, better thing. And they did. And, you know, we did a lot of different work, which are probably a lot of people don't know. Like they did a lot of stuff from television advertising, different stuff. So loads of different work until they made it like everyone else, you know, they tried all they could do. Considering where they come from, Luton's Marsh Farm, like worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. And again, I don't like the, I do live in England now since 99, and I'm a big opponent to anyone against Luton. They all talk so badly about it. Why are you talking rubbish about your own town in your own country? And it's nonstop that, you know, it's a shithole, is this? Well, the people are actually not shit. Since 99, I changed so many people from all walks of life. Yes, it has a lot of different, but what is England really? What's Britain? Well, you're just white? You're not. For example, you know, well, so the 100,000 Pakistanis that fought in Second World War for the Commonwealth, they're not good. You know, what about all the Caribbeans, the Africans that fought? So kind of like it's a little bit what's called hypocrisy, you know. So it's good whilst you use them for something and then like they're not good. But also you put everyone together in the country. So in Luton is a big Asian population like Pakistani, Kashmiris, Bangladesh. And they put them in this place called Berry Park, which is nearly like, yeah, they're all together there. They live together there. It's no problem most of the times. And yeah, so who cares? Everyone, I find just normal people. I talk to them. I train their children. Yeah. They all have the same problem. You know, struggling for money, time, run here, work. They're trying to make it, to live. Everyone just wants to live. So I think everyone should just let everyone. And I don't like all this divide. I don't think if I bleed you and I bleed me and I mix the blood up, try finding it. We're all red blood, if that makes sense. So. That's why martial arts are so good. In our gym, I mean, I sometimes have over 30, 40, 50 nationalities, some islands I never heard of, countries. And it's beautiful. Everyone training hard, dying, sweat is the same. You know what I mean? And at the end, like, all make the pictures. Everyone is proud you achieve something. And it's that sense of community that we need to, and whilst I'm at it, martial arts, not boxing, but martial arts in general, also boxing, of course, we do so much for people. And the community, way more than anyone else, 100% way more than all these governments and charities and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I had kids from same area as the state. They're world champion. They're this. They're not drug dealers. And but we can't get hold of it. Funding, do we ever get any? Of course not, you know, because you're not whatever charity or this. So it doesn't matter. But if I do the job better than your charities, you're funding the thousands of pounds a month. Why don't you actually pay the people that do the job properly on a way bigger scale? They have maybe four or five kids. We got 30 of those kids, yet you're not recognized. But anyway, that's politics and rubbish. I think people to people, everyone is normal. We have Christmas. We fill it out with sweets for the kids. We got Diwali. We fill out with that different food for Eid. There's different food. So it's nice. And we have all the religions there, all the people. Yeah, the only ones I never trained yet. I think actually I had one Japanese student ever, one, only one. So yeah.
Amir, so with the success that you got from martial arts, what do you think, why do you think you were able to push your students so hard, and why were you able to get them past their threshold where some gyms, you know, they train, but they're never pushing past threshold, and then they fucking shit the bed during a actual bout because they can't push because they didn't do it in training. Your methodology, I've seen you break the fighters down until there's nothing left, and then they can push later on.
Thank God I always had that gift of, I don't know, I look at you, and when you start training, in my head it's like I don't know, like stuff like this happening, like iron plate, muscle, shoulders, this, blah, blah, speed, agility. It boils down to really staying one true to who you are and doing your stuff. You don't like it? No problems, mate. Get out of my gym. Go somewhere else. Because when you change your standards to adapt to everyone, to please everyone, that's when you lose as a gym. And I, as a coach, everyone knows me. You don't like it? Get out of my gym. And everyone, whoever left, other ones, the losers, they didn't make it. I mean, not all of them left for that reason, but I'm saying the ones that were fighters or trying and they failed, and then they go somewhere else, and they never made it anywhere else either. Because the thing is, you cannot, for me personally, I always stuck to my own guns. Training is very hard. Training is very real. And that's it. You don't like it, tough luck, get out then. Then you would just be like a number on a statistic if it was some sort of, God forbid, alien invasion, as they say. And yeah, well, you can't swim 50 meters. You can't, yeah, I don't. So I always trained everyone hard. It's fair, it's hard, but it's very brutal. And I had a fighter being knocked out, you know, when he was in hospital. I also remember 47 days, no one else was there except me all day. You know, while the brain was open and you don't know if he's going to live or not. So yeah, this is no joke. And I approach it by no joke either. And of course, at ex-special forces, I like the whole real. I prepare them for life, let's be honest. You know, like, look, Andrew, just what can you do to them what they didn't do in training, physically or mentally? Nothing. Were they humiliated? Of course. We do all sorts of stuff. It's like mind games, you know. You do a lot of different stuff. Sorry, got a cat that came in now, as you can hear. Local one. Yeah, so I never changed my standards. You can't keep up. That's your problem. It's not my problem. Which basically also, you know, of course, it's not just me. I have a great team with me. You know, a great business partner now, obviously, with Lucy Smith. Obviously, I've got Aiden, Patsalides, Matt Anderton, Masumash, and Shazna. And I have, obviously, the loads of George and Ramos. And you have a whole team, Darren, to help. And now you heard about a little top T, Tyler Horan. I'm going to open another second gym up north in the UK, him and Peter Horan. Probably one in Slovenia with an old fighter of mine from war times. Yeah, so look, I had a gym in a garage in Bosnia during the war. Kids were running through the town that was bombed to come to train and go home. Some faint in class because they have nothing to eat. So what is your excuse? You do Muay Thai and wrestling and everything else you said. So what's your excuse then? You eat on time, you sleep on time, no one is bombing you, and yet there's a million excuses you can't go and be regular training. So yeah, I don't, for me that doesn't work. I don't care. It's very black and white there. Oh, my foot hurts, well, use the other foot. You know, your shin hurts, so what? Box. You know what I mean? So sit down and box, use your hands, do sit-ups, or be there, count other people, help, hold the pairs, do something. I also think as a military, I always remember, we are always in this military environment for military action, yeah? So if you are not in a sports environment or sports action, then that's not it, your hobby. If it's a hobby for you, no problems. You're paying to train, you come down and train, and that's fine. But for the fighters, it's brutal, it's different. They have to do their own runs, chin-ups, dips, you know, go to the gym. None of this modern stuff. Whatever, I'm very old school. Yeah, I always believe that 1,000 press ups are always better than 100, no matter which machine, which way, which modern, most scientific, whatever, blah blah. Because you see, like all these new scientific methods or something, everyone is doing them. I mean, come on, you're telling me that's better than 1,000 press ups? I don't think so. I look at it like this, like money. Would you like 100 pounds or 1,000 pounds? Everyone says 1,000 pounds. Great. Do 1,000 press-ups.
So tell me, what do you think about Andrew, you know, collaborating with Misfits Boxing and now this fight with Chase Damore? What's your prediction about the fight? And also, what's your opinion on Andrew taking such a more important role in the company?
Well, Andrew being part of Misfits, obviously, as a business model, he too explained it already, I think. It would be great for the business. Obviously, Andrew and Tristan, they are marketing geniuses. So they will get, and I'm sure behind closed doors and other stuff, they're doing stuff we don't even know. And even though I'm not a person involved in any way or form, I don't know anything, what will happen, how. But just him being the new face or the new CEO of Misfits, there'll be loads of other stuff. But I think what people need to take away from him being the new CEO is he's an actual fighter. He fought for peanuts, for nothing, to to a lot of money. And now also how Andrus is leading from the top. So he will fight again. As I mentioned earlier, he doesn't have to. Fight with Chase. As I said in the other interview, I respect the young man. He's training very hard. He comes from pro-American side, you know, so he's strong, he's fit, he's, you know, fast, all of that. And you can tell he's improving every time he fought, yeah? From the first fight, you can tell. There's still, obviously, as everyone says, chinks in the armor. Everyone has them. It's no, you know, no secret. And on the night, the best man will win. Of course, I believe in my fighter. And I still stay by my statement that on first touch, it will detonate. And that's it. One shot, one kill. That's all I can say. But for Misfits, Andrew will be amazing. For the fighters, it will be amazing. I hope to do a lot of other stuff. I'm like, every now and then, I send him like a whole long list of do this, do this, do this. Yeah. So I'm sure they have their own ideas and they expect a lot of stuff. Yeah, why not? You know, promotion. But marketing-wise, let's be honest, you know, Andrew has a huge reach. It's a new target audience as well for them. The male, the influencers, the people that aspire to be like Andrew and Tristan and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a master move, master chess move. Obviously, you don't want to go into like who, what, here. I mean, I've been there myself, but the whole department's been shut down. We all got made redundant. It's part of business. You know, I worked in sales and marketing, and that's it, sales mainly, sorry. And just goodbye, you know, literally. Next week, we're shutting down the whole thing. You all have 5 days to leave. Some had to leave the same day, leave everything as it is. Just close your computers down and literally pack up and leave, yeah? Wasn't even a few times there was no leaving due or anything. It was just so quick, you know? And this is high-end business, and I hope he brings it to, like, a new level. So it's also like some of these other recognized fight shows where people can generally see and build themselves up. It'd be amazing, I think. More money, hopefully, for everyone. More money going around. More money for everyone, too. And then so that people can have a living, support the families, support the friends, have a lot more different coaches work, you know, give jobs. So, yeah, how can you not be happy about it? That's how I look at it, you know. It's not all about just me and you and so on, so everyone else at the top making the money. But if it branches out, a lot of people can live from actually being, you know, I'm looking at, what's his name, Warren Spencer. Like, he has a coach, team, everyone around him, for videographer, like most of them have. It's amazing. So you're giving, one person is giving 4, 5, 6 people jobs. Now imagine they have 200 fighters. That's 1,200 people. You know, there's a lot of people having actually depending on it. Plus the interior structure. I don't know, you know, besides the CEOs and the shareholders. So yeah, good on him.
As we wrap up the podcast today, Amir, what's your final remarks to everybody listening at home?
Well, if it's sports related, everyone should do some sort of training. Stay strong. Don't believe everything you see or hear. You know, talk to people. Talking, conversation is the best way to find and to feel people, you know, like how good or bad they are. Don't write stuff in comment backup, 100%, or don't chat rubbish online. I don't like it. I'm also religious, you know, alhamdulillah, so I don't want all of that. I don't want to be talking bad about you or anyone, you know. We just say what it is. And I think everyone should be a good person mainly. It's harder to be good than bad. That's it. And stay strong.
Follow Coach Amir on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat podcast. Tune in. We'll see you guys next time.
100%. God bless you. Thank you for your time. And all the best. Goodbye.
Become a combatant.